Picture this. A woman sits alone at a hotel bar, nursing her wounds after a career-crushing rejection. A handsome stranger intervenes when an unwanted admirer invades her space. What begins as a simple rescue evolves into an electric connection that defies explanation. This is the premise of That One Night, Emily Rath's breakout novella that's captured millions of readers' hearts and imaginations. The story's power lies in its exploration of what happens when two people strip away the facades we normally present to the world and connect on a soul-deep level, if only for a single night. What makes a brief encounter feel more meaningful than relationships that last for years? And what happens when fate decides one night isn't enough? Rachel's day couldn't get worse. The Barclay Fellowship rejection email sits in her inbox, with her name misspelled, forcing her to flee her twin brother Harrison's wedding brunch. Now she's alone at a Seattle hotel bar when Chad McBoatface invades her space, touching her back and sniffing her hair despite her obvious disinterest. As she's about to confront him, Salvation appears. A tall, muscular stranger with hazel eyes smoothly intervenes, pretending to be her brother, Amy. When Chad persists, her rescuer delivers a subtle threat while giving Rachel a concerned look. They play along convincingly until Chad retreats. The ice breaks when they share a laugh over their similar nicknames for Chad, Chad McBoatface versus Douche McYacht Club. Over appetizers, he explains he's in Seattle to meet his twin sister from Japan whose flight was canceled. Learning Rachel is also a twin deepens their connection. Despite her earlier mood, Rachel finds herself drawn to this stranger's kindness and protective nature. In a moment of boldness, she suggests taking him to her room, an invitation that hangs between them, electric with possibility. The mystery man struggles to maintain composure beside Rachel. Her dark hair with golden tips, sexy black outfit, and small tattoos captivate him. The septum piercing and geometric tattoo disappearing between her breasts make it hard not to stare. Their shared twin experience creates an immediate bond that feels beyond coincidental. Conversation flows effortlessly with laughter and shared observations. When he offers to leave, she stops him with an electrifying touch. "I believe in signs," she tells him, eyes intense. "And right now, all signs point to taking you to my room." Her boldness sends his pulse racing as he pays the check. When he asks for her name, she smiles mysteriously. "No names, no jobs, no real life," she declares. "Tonight, we're just two people lost in a city not our own." This anonymity isn't merely seductive. It creates space for their truest selves, unburdened by expectations or histories. They aren't defined by careers or failures, just two souls about to discover how perfectly they fit. Leaving the bar, Rachel confirms she's sober despite the drinks. While a one-night stand might seem immature after a professional disappointment, she feels no shame about her attraction to this man. His eyes memorizes her, sending shivers across her skin. He's impressively tall, 6'3" to her 5'5" in heels, with muscles straining against his gray t-shirt. When he asks her name, she decides on anonymity. "No names, no jobs, no real life," she establishes. These rules aren't about shame, but about creating a sacred space where only the present matters. When they pass Chad's group, her companion positions himself protectively between them. After Chad tries inviting Rachel to his regatta, her mystery man introduces himself to Brad Hollingsworth, leaving Rachel stifling laughter. Alone, he turns with a heart-stopping grin, one hand on her hip, gently lifting her chin. Their rules create something profound. Without backgrounds, they connect deeper, liberated by being desired for exactly who they are now. In the elevator, he asks permission before touching her, a simple request for consent that intensifies her desire. His hands glide over her shoulders, leaving goosebumps. When they kiss, passion overwhelms her as the elevator dings repeatedly, their floor selection forgotten. In her suite overlooking Seattle skyline, he notices a photo of Rachel and her twin. Though she initially tenses at this potential breach of their no-real-life rule, his touch melts her resistance. She reveals her twin Harrison is proof she'd make a handsome man, making him smile. When pressed for her name, she offers something meaningful instead. She's a doctor. His face lights up with admiration. "Can I please fuck you now?" he asks, voice rough with desire. She strips naked in response. What follows is a symphony of pleasure as they explore each other with increasing familiarity. Their connection deepens beyond physical when they discover they share the same sense of humor, making her feel she's fallen in love with this like-minded stranger. After hours of passionate connection, they order room service and talk about everything: his sister Amy, his desire to steal his friend's dog, Harrison's wedding with Thai customs. Their conversation reveals compatible values, similar humor, and shared perspectives. When she teasingly suggests the wedding food was orgasmic, he pulls her into his lap, playfully threatening to cry if she ranks dinner above his lovemaking. His playfulness turns passionate as he explores her body. "Say that you're mine," he demands. "I'm yours," she replies, begging him not to stop. He looks at her intensely. "Say the word, and I'll never stop." Rachel later wakes at 3 a.m. with just 4 hours before her flight. He finds her viewing Seattle skyline and embraces her, sharing his love for city lights, another connection between them. He suggests visiting Pike Place before her flight. When she refuses, he begs her to stay longer. Though heartbroken, she explains she needs to handle her job situation alone. "What we have here is magnetic," he insists, asking for her contact information. She silences his requests with a kiss, knowing one more day wouldn't be enough. 2 months after Seattle, Rachel is stuck in Cincinnati, having lost the Barclay Fellowship. Her career plans are derailed, and she can't stop dreaming about her mystery man, the best connection she'd ever experienced. She regrets not exchanging contact information with him. Unexpectedly, her mentor calls. She's been awarded the fellowship after all, when the first choice candidate was injured. Rachel accepts immediately, despite having no say in placement. When assigned to the Jacksonville Rays, a new NHL expansion team, she's thrilled. Hockey is her dream placement. At Jacksonville Airport, Rachel deals with missing luggage. After confirming her bags were misdirected, she meets her pickup, Caleb Sanford. When they meet, her old bag splits open, spilling everything, including an embarrassing purple tentacle dildo that was a gag gift. Caleb, a tattooed surfer with a beautiful dog named Poseidon, helps gather her things. Despite the awkwardness, there's undeniable attraction between them. As they drive away with music playing, Rachel relaxes in the Florida sunshine, unaware that her new life will soon reconnect her with her Seattle mystery man.